Welcome to the Simple Gospel Church podcast. Raising a generation that will stand for Christ.
You're welcome to service this evening. How was the service in the morning? I had a great time. I don't know about you. It was a great time. It was a time of refreshing. And we bless God. So tonight, we are starting off again. So before we proceed, let's pray. And so, Father, we thank you this evening. We give you glory for another time in your presence. Thank you, Father, for bringing us again. Thank you for what you did in our midst in the morning. Thank you for what you are said to do again in our midst. Thank you, Father, because in this service, this evening, your name shall be glorified in the mighty name of Jesus. Pray that, Lord, you will bless every one of us as we have gathered here before you in the mighty name of Jesus. Thank you, Father. In Jesus' mighty name we have prayed. Amen. We came back again to John chapter 17 from verse 1 to 5. And that actually started the prayer that Jesus made before he went to the cross. And that was, it was a whole chapter of Jesus' prayer shortly before his crucifixion. And so we saw how Jesus needed to intercede. He needed to pray, right? He needed to pray first for himself, right? He prayed for himself first. Yes, so he prayed for himself, and then we saw how he made known his state, that the glory is shared with the Father, who he really is. He is the I am that I am, the same person who existed in the beginning, the same one who we read about in Genesis, and the same person who dealt with the children of Israel, the same Jesus. And you know, we saw how that, you know, I was referring to what we did that morning, what Pastor Femi taught us that morning about Jesus, that he was the same Jesus that when they sinned, he chastised them, he sent serpent to bite them. Amen. The same Jesus. So it's still the same Jesus who had to humble himself. He left his glory. He left everything that made him God. And he came. He came as normal human, like you and I. He carried the same flesh that you and I are carrying. He had the same weakness that you and I had. We saw how also he had weakness. Why? After preaching the whole day, he was in the boat and he slept. He slept in the boat. So he came in the form of a man, a full-fledged man. Amen. And he came, he humbled himself. And not only that, he didn't feel that, of course, I am God, and I don't need to pray. And you know, that reminds us of the program we have today. Prayer is needed. Every time, prayer is needed. And what he did actually became a model for us to follow, not to trust in our own self, not to trust in our intellectual, not to trust in our own on our own wisdom. The Bible says that trust in the Lord with all your heart and lean not on your own what? On your own understanding. In all your ways, acknowledge Him. Amen. So that is it. So Jesus found Himself as a man, and so He had to fulfill the same obligation, the same principle that we also need to follow. He had to do it. Because the flesh, you can't trust this flesh. The flesh is is funny. The flesh is funny. You know, when Jesus was tempted, the first thing that the devil brought to Him was what? Turn this stone to bread. That was a temptation. You think it's not temptation? If it were not, the Bible wouldn't call it temptation. Jesus was actually tempted because He was hungry as a man. Amen. But He had to humble Himself. Is He had to humble Himself to the study of the Word, to the study of the Scripture. And that was why when the devil came, He was able to tell the devil, it is what? It is written. Man shall not live by bread alone. If Jesus could do that, how much less we? If He could take His time to study His Scripture, take His time to pray, not leaning on the fact that He was God, but He found Himself as a man. If He could do that, then we should also follow the same example and not to trust this flesh. If Jesus were in the flesh when the devil came, He would have fallen. He would turn the whole, you know how many stones were there that day? He would turn the whole stones to bread. And the next thing the devil will say is, very good. Good boy. The next thing is, start eating them. Then he will tell him to fill his tummy with the food. And somebody who has fasted for 40 days and 40 nights. You know what it means when you fast for 40 days and 40 nights? Even if you are going to eat anything at that point, what do you take? Something light. Right? Because all your body, everything about your body has shut down. Like every place where the food needs to pass through has actually literally shut down. And you just need something like, you know, like water, like liquid. But if Jesus had done that, he turned it to a full-fledged bread, and the devil tell him, well, start eating, you are hungry. And he eats, then he would have died. Amen. But he did not give a chance to the flesh. He humbled himself, he prayed. And that was what we saw in that John chapter 17 from verse 1 to 5, that Jesus prayed. He prayed for himself. And today we are going to be looking at the preceding verses. We are going to be looking at verse 6 to verse 11. From verse 6 to 11. And it reads, I have manifested your name to the men whom you have given me out of the world. They were yours. You gave them to me, and they have kept your word. Now they have known that all things which you have given me are from you. For I have given to them the words which you have given me, and they have received them, and have known surely that I came forth from you, and they have believed that you sent me. Verse 9. I pray for them. I do not pray for the world, but for those whom you have given me, for they are yours. And all mine are yours, and yours are mine, and I am glorified in them. 11. Now I am no longer in the world, But these are in the world, and I come to you. Holy Father, keep through your name those whom you have given me, that they may be one as we are. Amen. And so, after Jesus prayed for himself from verse 1 to 5, then he began to make prayers for his disciples. He began to pray for his disciples, which is very needed, very important. And the first thing he said is that, I have manifested your name to the men whom you have given me out of the world. They were yours. You gave them to me, and they have kept your word. He said, I have manifested your name. What is the name of God that Jesus actually manifested? What is the name? Anybody? What is that name? We call him God, right? We call him God. God. Call him Lord. But he said, I have manifested your name. Is it just God? Just God. Or Lord. That he manifested to them. What was the name? The name of God. All right.
It's just an attempt, because you know.
Oh, okay, fine.
Yeah. I would say that perhaps the name that Jesus came to manifest was, let's say, Father, and the reason why, I mean, God as the Father, and the reason why I'm saying that is because in the Old Testament we didn't really see God. I won't say we did, like, the people did not really have the Father. Child relationship with God. It was more like a master
servant,
not, but yes, like a ruler kind of thing. And I remember when we were asking, because I remember our Lord's Prayer, when they came to say, teach us how to pray. And Jesus said, we say by our Father. And even when you read John 17, you see him using the word Father a lot. So I want to believe that is, let's say, one of the attributes or the thing about God that Jesus manifested.
Yeah. Okay, it's actually a good attempt, and it's part of it. Any attempts? The name of God that Jesus manifested to his disciples. Yeah, the father name. Father is a title, right? That's a title. And the father child is a kind of relationship. Yes. But there is a name. There is the name of God that Jesus actually came to manifest. There is a name that he came to manifest, and it's very important. It's actually not far-fetched. It's not really the God, because God is actually the designated name, just to to identify that there is a supreme being who is not in our own class. He is God, and we are what? We are men. Right? And that's not the name. And the name Lord, we call him Lord. Yeah, Lord is his name, but it's not just Lord that he came to reveal. Of course, they know him as Lord, because they call him what? Master, right? And even the Israelites, they know God as Lord, Yahweh, right? Yeah, but there is a particular name that. And that name, God has, is a covenant name. It's a name that he has pre-informed them about. And that is the same name that Jesus carried. Amen. The name of Jesus. Don't forget that that name Jesus is Yahweh. What? Yahweh saves. Or Yahweh is salvation. That is the name he came to reveal. That was the essence of his coming. The Bible said that when the angel appeared to Mary, he said, you will bring forth a child and you will call his name what? Jesus. Because he will do what? He will save his people from their sins. Yahweh saves. And when he came, when he began his ministry, that was what he revealed. How God anointed Jesus of Nazareth with the Holy Ghost and with power, who went about doing what? Doing good. Healing those that are oppressed of the devil. He was casting out demons, healing them, saving them, delivering them. It's the name of deliverance. And God actually had he actually revealed this name to them when they were in Egypt also. He sent Moses to them. But Moses still told them that the Lord your God is going to raise up a prophet like unto me. What did Moses do to them? Or what was Moses' assignment? Moses' assignment to them. He actually went to do to deliver them. He was their deliverer. But the deliverance was not complete. So Moses gave them a prophecy that God is going to raise up a prophet like unto me, and he's going to come to do what? To deliver you people. But this time, not from the slavery of men, but the main slavery, which is the slave trade of sin. That was why when John saw Jesus, he said, behold the Lamb of God, who did what? Who takes away the sins of the world. That was his assignment. That was the name he came to reveal. And that was what he revealed to his disciples. Amen. And another thing of interest that was revealed in that verse was that he said that I have manifested your name to the men whom you have given me out of the world. These men are men that are out of the world. What does that mean? It means that these men were in the world. But something happened that made them out of the world. Not by the physical out of the world, but something made them out of the world. And what made them out of the world? What do you think made them out of the world? What made them out of the world? Can we just try? The question, what made them out of the world? What made these men out of the world? Giving attention to Jesus. Okay, that's partial. If it's just giving attention to Jesus, it may not just be completely the way it is, out of the world. Before you could say someone is out of, they are in the world though. But he said they are out of the world. What does that mean? It means that they are separated. They are actually separated. They were called out. What that means is that it calls to mind what the Bible says in the book of Mark when Jesus went to the mountain, and the Bible says that he called those that he would to himself, that they might what? That they might be with him. Right? First, the first thing is what? That they might be with him. they being with him actually started the process. They being out of the world is actually a process. The first thing was that these men were called out of the world. Now, so when you read through the gospel, you will see where Jesus was going, and he will just tell them, follow me, and I will make you. Follow me, and I will make you. Follow me, and I will make you. I didn't want to complete it, but make. It means that he is recreating them. There is a transformation that he is actually doing with them. They being with him actually is actually doing something in their lives. Transforming their lives. Changing them. And remember the parable he gave when they came to him and said that, oh, the disciples of John, they used to fast. But this your disciples, they are not different from gluttons. Oh. They are just eating. Eating, eating. What happened? Can't they even fast for one day? Jesus said, leave them alone. What is your own business? What concerns you? Leave these men alone. They are still with me. I am the bridegroom. Do you see the friends of the bridegroom? Do you see them fasting on a feasting day? No. Today we wanted to send forth our brother and there was feast. Pastor declared that because there is feasting, it's part of the kingdom. Feasting is part of the kingdom thing. So maybe we should break your fast so that you can have love feast. Amen. So these guys are just eating. But he said, leave them alone. But where I'm going is that Jesus told them, he said that you cannot pour a new wine into an old wineskin. Else, it will tear. Because those days, they use the skin of animals, fresh skin, as wine container. So, if that skin is becoming old, if you pour new wine into that old wineskin, it's going to burst. Right. So Jesus was making that illustration with the lives of this man. So this man, just leave them. By the time I'm done with them, by the time I prune them, by the time I cultivate them, by the time I discipline them. Because actually the word disciple comes from the word discipline. Jesus had to discipline them. You will see in some places, the Bible says he rebuked them for their unbelief. Rebuke is not something that is small. Go and try it with a child. Call a child. Call as small as Jubilee. Just call her here. And begin to frown your face and begin to rebuke her. And see the way she will react to you. If rebuke. I just want you to see the way rebuke is. Rebuke is actually not pleasant. Discipline is not pleasant. Sometimes Jesus had to stress these guys. Had to stress them. Sometimes they'll be traveling at night. They were traveling one night and the boat almost capsized. And Jesus knew, because he was praying, he knew that something was happening to them. Immediately he ran to their rescue. Amen. That was the level of discipline that these men were going through until Jesus was able to say in that place of prayer that these ones have been called out of the world. Being called out of the world is actually a process. And the process didn't finish. That was why Jesus had to pray for them. If it had ended with Jesus' ministry on earth, then there wouldn't have been a need for his prayer for them and for him to send the Holy Spirit to them. what happened in Act 2. Because the Holy Spirit is also the Spirit of Jesus. He is also Jesus. Because that is actually the name that Jesus came to reveal to his disciple. So the Holy Spirit is Jesus. Somebody defined the Holy Spirit as Jesus in many lives, in the lives of believers. That's the spiritual Jesus in our lives. The Holy Spirit. And so that was what made the difference in the lives of these people. You know, Paul was talking in Romans chapter 12 from verse 1 to 2. He said, I beseech you therefore, by the, brethren, by the mercies of God, that ye present your bodies a living sacrifice, holy and acceptable unto God, which is your what? Your reasonable service. And verse 2, he continued, he said, and be not conformed. Conformity with the world is actually what makes a man worldly. When you are conformed to the world, you are conformed to the standard of the world. That makes you worldly. He said, but and be not conformed to the world, but be ye what? Transformed by the renewing of your mind. And so that renewer of the mind is actually what makes the difference in the life of a disciple. That is what makes you a call out of the world, like Jesus was referring to his disciples here. See, they are called out of the world. And that was what made them. Amen. Hallelujah. So, another thing of note is why did Jesus have to manifest God's name to those people? Why do you think he has to manifest God's name to those people? Why do you think, you know, he said, I'm not manifesting your name to the world, though. It's not to the world. Just like if you relate back to what who was that? Somebody asked him a question in chapter 14, the same John, chapter 14. He said, Master, why will you reveal yourself only to us and not to the world? That was Judas, right? That was Judas, but not Iscariot. He said, why? Why is it that Jesus is not, he didn't just manifest himself to the world, of course, so that he can have a larger congregation like most pastors would like now. that was what his brothers, thank God, you know, it's beautiful. It's actually beautiful to study the scripture, and this understanding scripture is actually, it's beautiful since we started it. In fact, the morning session, I've been so blessed. You know, this same Jude, the same Jude that we are studying, is the same guy with James, his brother, that told Jesus, nobody does all these things you are doing in secret, though. You better go to Jerusalem and manifest yourself. Go to Jerusalem, go and manifest yourself there. He said, keep your mouth quiet. My time has not come. You people should go. Leave me alone. It's the same Jude, though. This same Jude that later he became humble. He can't even call himself the brother of Jesus directly. Indirectly, he said, I am James. I am Jude, the brother of James, the bond servant of Jesus. I'm his bond servant too. You understand? That was the same James that was taunting him. Bro, go and make yourself known to the world. Go and manifest yourself in Jerusalem. So, why is it that Jesus did not manifest himself or did not manifest God's name to the world, but to just this set of disciples, just this set of guys? You know, it just struck me now that was the same thing God wanted to do through the nation of Israel. The world, the whole world has actually fallen into sin. And God was looking for a way to save the world. But he can't just... God is a God of, you know, he's a God of principle. He doesn't get crash. He doesn't force himself. He goes through the right channel. That was why Jesus didn't just jump from the sky and just come and say, I am your savior. Oh yeah, all of you believe in me. And let me save you now before you die. Before I begin to kill you one by one. Amen. He didn't just show himself to the world like Superman. All this Superman and, Captain Planet of those days that we used to watch. Captain Planet is the hero. As if you can relate. Amen. You know, he had to actually come through a process. So he chose the land of Israel. He actually chose Abraham. And he began to model, okay, through your seed, I'm going to save the world. The people of the world will be blessed. So he began the model. But we found out that the Bible now says that in the book of John, chapter 1, verse 12, it says, as many as received him. But before then, he said, he came to his womb. Not just the world. His own. Jesus is a Jew. He came to his own. Referring to the people, the Jewish people. But his own did what? They rejected him. Do you know how painful it is? People you've been dealing with from the beginning of time. He even told them, he said, before Abraham was, I am. I'm the one that Abraham longed to see. He longed to see this day. And he rejoiced to see it. And he saw it because I appeared to him. The day he wanted to give the prophecy to Sarah. That was Jesus pre-incarnate. And now, the same people he has been dealing with, he sent Moses to them to deliver them. Many times when they fall into the hands of their enemy, he will send deliverer to them. He was dealing with them gently, although they were being punished because of their sins. But he still loved them. And now, out of his love, he still came to his own. And people say, his own rejected him. So, he had to, out of his own, still out of his own, he still had to at least call out some men. At least as a witness that I came to you people, oh, you people rejected me. But these ones, he called them out. He revealed God's name to them. That was the same way God has been dealing with their predecessors. He revealed God's name to these people. Oh, these people now, he disciplined them, he pruned them, he taught them, he took time to teach them. Then these ones now came to realize that indeed, this is the Messiah, the one that God has promised that is going to come to deliver Israel. These ones believed him. After Jesus has revealed himself to them. And after he has taught them the ways of God. So the reason why he had to do that and not to the world is so that he can actually pass the love of God, pass the knowledge of God to them and take them out of the world. Because if he reveals himself to the world, The love of the Father is not in the world. The world will, of course, the world actually, literally, they rejected him. Till now, the world is still rejecting Jesus. If not, we don't need to go out on evangelism. If the world, till now, has not accepted the lordship and the saving grace of Jesus. Amen. So he can't just reveal himself. He had to do it to this set of people. And first, before he did it to this set of guys, he had to first call them out. Spoke the word of God to them. Reveal God's name to them. As Yahweh the Savior. Yahweh the one who saves. The promised Savior. That's why they call him Yeshua. Yeshua HaMashiach, right? Yeshua the Messiah. The Savior. So that was what he did. And that was why he had to do it that way. So that he can call this one out. He can take out all the things of the world from them. Then introduce the love of the Father to them. Then they will be able to, they will be able to carry the message along. And that was why he was praying for them. He used them as a model. Then, subsequently, you will see that he then began to pray for people who will believe through this small sect. Amen. So that was the reason why he had to do all he did. Because it's not easy to... We went out yesterday. We went to preach, right? Was it everyone that received our message? No. Even the people that received our message, we say how to invite them to church so that they can be established in the things of God. Jesus knew this. And that was why he had to call this set of guys and teach them. He taught them. Before he even sent them out, he has taught them. He has done a lot of things with them. Then he now sent them out. Amen. All right. So, before we move to that verse 9, typically, actually, what that actually means to us is actually to show us also as disciples today that we've been called out. And it's for a purpose. The purpose is to reveal the saving power of Jesus. Amen. And that was why the Bible says in 1 Peter chapter 2 verse 9 that you are what? A chosen generation. A royal priesthood. A holy nation. A peculiar people. That you may do what? That you may show forth the praise of him that has called you out of out of the world into his marvelous light. And so that should sink into us, and we should carry that wherever we are. We should be witnesses. And he told his disciples, he said, you shall receive power after that the Holy Ghost is come upon you, and you shall be witnesses of me. You start from Jerusalem, to Samaria, to Judea, and to the uttermost part of the earth. It's a typical mantra for us also to go with. Wherever we find ourselves, we should start witnessing from there. Let's show the saving power of Jesus to people. The world is dying. And nothing can save the world. Not G Summit. Not economic reforms. They've tried it. There are a lot of formulas in this world. Millions and thousands of formulas before we were even born to save the world. But they didn't work. If they had worked, we won't still be the same way we are in the world. But this actually reveals to us that there is only one name that can save. There is no other name that is given to men except the name Jesus. Yahweh saves. And so we need to carry this everywhere we go. And I pray the Lord helps us in Jesus' name. And so verse 9 talks about Jesus' intercession and, you know, supplication. And that actually reminds us of his priesthood, who he is. And it reminds us of what Hebrew chapter 4, verse 15 talks about. That we do not have a high priest that cannot be touched with the feeling of our weaknesses or infirmity. He was at all point tempted as we are, but yet without sin, and is able to help us. And so if you go to Hebrews chapter 7, verse 25, he said, and is able to save them to the uttermost, those who come to God through him, seeing that he ever liveth to make intercession for them. Amen. And that is his priesthood. He did it while he was on earth. He's still doing it. Because when he went up, when he was taken up, he went to the right hand of the Father. And what was it? What is he doing there? He's interceding till now. That was why 1 John chapter 2 now says that we have an advocate with the Father, Jesus, the righteous. He's making intercession for us. Not only for us now, but for the people of the world, so that they can come to the saving knowledge. Or the knowledge of a saving power. Amen. And so, that's what verse 9 actually portrays to us. And it's actually an example for us also. If Jesus is making intercession for us, what should we do? We should also do what? Make intercession for people, for the world. There is no one. I love the, you know, this morning understanding scripture is just blessing me left and right every time. You know, Bro Cooper asked a question and, you know, Pastor Femi gave an answer that, okay, oh, sorry, it was you that asked the question. It was Bro Biola. That, okay, does it mean that these people that are, I just want to paraphrase, these people that are probably, that are in this, or going into apostasy, is that it's done for them? But he said, no. Jesus never gives up on any man. He never gives up. If the devil, the Bible says that the devil, your adversary, the devil, is going about looking for whom to devour. He's not tired. Looking for whom he may devour. He said, the thief cometh not but to do what? To steal, to kill, and to destroy. But I am come that they might have life and have it more abundantly. What do you think Jesus? You think Jesus will fold his hand? No. Jesus said, all that the Father has given unto me, he's a good keeper. He keeps all that the Father has given unto him. He said, none. I've lost none of them. None of them. But only one. And that is the son of perdition, that the scripture might be what? Be fulfilled. And it's not that They conditioned him to fulfill that scripture. He chose. The same way he chose to follow Jesus, the same way he chose to go the other way. Because he was with Jesus. And he would have been saved when he repented. What he did, if you look at what he did to what Peter did, Peter denied Jesus three times, three good times. It means that Peter wasn't joking that night. He wasn't joking. After denying him, he cried. He cried for forgiveness, of course. Jesus forgave him. What was the next thing he did? Went back a fishing. I go a fishing, no? But Judas would have been saved. The Bible actually recorded that he repented. He repented. He was remorseful. He repented for you to know that a man has actually repented. The first thing is that he will be sober. He will be remorse. Then the next thing, the outward one that he will do is what? Restitution. He did restitution. He returned back the money. That this is the money of blood. No. This was not what I intended. The guy plays prank. He thought Jesus will, you know, use his miracle power to, you know, to escape from those guys. He knew Jesus. He knew he's so powerful. Let me eat these guys and run. These Pharisees, they don't have sense. Let me eat them and run. But he didn't know that he was actually fulfilling the scripture. What am I saying this night? What I'm saying is that Jesus actually kept everything. He doesn't want to lose any soul. He is a creator. David said, I was fearfully and wonderfully made. Who have you seen in this life that has made man like you? Artificial intelligence is coming up and they are trying to make a caricature of man, of human being, that people can buy. But can it be like the real human being made by God? No. God is, Pastor said it this morning, he said, he created us as a masterpiece, his own masterpiece, that there is none like you, there is nobody like you, like a man. God has a unique stamp on every man that he made. Do you think that is not a careful and a skillfully, how will I put it now? Something that is done carefully, painstakingly, and Kai. God is not a waste out. He has a stamp of uniqueness on every man that he has made. And so he doesn't want, the Bible says that he doesn't want any man to perish, but to come to the knowledge of salvation. He doesn't give up on any man. Thank God for the screen night we watch. We watch the book of Revelation. And that man was talking about what Jesus said. It marveled me. What he said to Jezebel. He said, that woman Jezebel. He said, I gave her a chance to do what? To repent. Jesus does not give up on any man. He doesn't. And that is the reason why we need to come into this mantle of intercession. If you can't reach everyone in the world, your prayer can. And your support to mission can also. But the cheap thing, at least, the cheapest thing you can do is the resource that God has given to you, which is prayer. You can do it anywhere. And so this is a challenge for us. To make intercession, to make it mandatory, to make it something we need to do every day. Every day. Wherever we are, you are going on the way. Make intercession for people. Speak to them also about the saving power of this Jesus. So this is what we need to do. And this is what Jesus actually, this is what he typified. This is what he exemplified to us. And we need to take this mantle and run with it. Let's run with it. The world is dying. Souls are perishing. But we need to stand up as the Jesus of now. We need to stand up and save the world. We shouldn't leave it to all these superheroes. We are the superheroes that the world needs. Amen. Although the world, although when they see us, we are like the scum. They count us as the scum of the world, but we are actually the fragrance. That was what Paul said. So we are the fragrance of the world. We are the one that spice things up in the world. We are the one that make things happen. Those people that you think they know what they are doing, they don't. May we not be guilty of the souls of men on the last day in the name of Jesus. The Lord will help us. So, I'm going to stop here. I'm going to stop here. Do we have any question? All right. Let us pray. Father, we thank you this night for your word. We ask for grace. Grace to reach out to the dying world. Grace, O God, to take up the mantle of intercession. And Lord, to do it with love, with passion in our hearts, the way you would have us do it, in the mighty name of Jesus. Thank you, Father, for in Jesus' mighty name we are prayed. Amen.
Thank you for listening to this message. The Simple Gospel Church is a church arm of World Impact Ministries, dedicated to taking the gospel all over the world.